Psalm 67. Missions are a part of the DNA here at FBC Mobley. From our earliest point in our history, we have been a sending church, a church that sends people out, a church that lives on mission. In the last few years, the Lord has given us some particular and specific assignments. He has called us to load up vans and take the gospel to places like Juarez, Mexico, and Acuna, Mexico, and Helena, Montana, and Wadena, Minnesota, and Medina, Ohio, all so that we can tell people to behold our glorious God, so that we can share the gospel with them, that they may know Christ as Savior and Lord. We have sent preachers to preach and members on mission. We have sent pastors to churches. By the way, I mentioned to you last week that Joshua Mosley was preaching at Hallsville Baptist Church in view of a call to be their associate pastor, and they voted him in favor of being their associate pastor unanimously. So praise the Lord for that. Yes, we praise God for that. The Lord has sent our members to preach in countless churches. Today, Bob is preaching in Shelbina. In the next couple of weeks, Larry will be preaching. Others will be preaching. Steve has preached. We have sent preachers out to preach. And today, we will commission and send out 15 of our members, of you, 15 of you. We will send you and commission you out to Acuna, Mexico. The Lord has used us for His purpose and for His glory. Lives have been forever impacted and changed because the Lord has used us. But I want to be careful that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That you don't misunderstand me. I've used the word we. I've used the word us. We are a sending church. The Lord has sent us. But let me be absolutely clear. We don't boast in what we have done. We boast only in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has called us to do. When I use the word we, it is not a pat on the back for us. Instead, when I use the word we, it's a hand in the sky pointing to the glory of God who has called us to live on mission and called us to be obedient to His command, as Michael said, to go and make disciples of all nations. We praise God that He has used us. I praise God that He is using you 15 who are going out today, and I can't wait to hear how God changes your life and how He impacts the lost around you for the sake of the gospel. This is all, listen to me closely, this is all by the Lord's design. The Lord calls us to go out on mission, but it takes a church willing to be obedient to God's command to go on mission. It takes obedience for this to work. And listen, when we labor and when we work and when we sacrifice and send and go, we do those things, but we don't give two rips about prestige, notoriety, or credit. We don't care who gets the credit. All we care about is that the Lord gets the credit. To God alone be the glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, in less than 2 hours, those 15 members from FBC will join forces with 43 other people. As Michael said, that's 58 people if my math is right. That'll span across 5 different denominations, 13 different churches. They will drive 15 hours south, and they will spend their Memorial Day week in temperatures. Have y'all looked at the temperature down there yet? Yeah, it's dangerous, man. It's scary. It's temperatures ranging from 98 to 105. But it's a dry heat, so you should be all right. They will spend their Memorial Day week in that heat carrying lumber, carrying metal roofing, building walls, stretching out chicken wire, throwing stucco on walls, installing drywall. And at the end of those 3 days, they will dedicate those 3 houses to the family. They will share the gospel with the neighborhood and anyone who shows up. And then they will leave, and they will likely never see those people again. They'll likely never see that family again. In total, over 3,100 man hours will be dedicated in drive time and work time building 3 homes. In the past, we have suffered some minor ailments, things like exhaustion, things like Montezuma's revenge. If you don't know what that is, Google it. We have suffered from grumpiness, some of us more than others. We have suffered from tiredness, from sore backs, and from sunburnt arms. We've also suffered from some more serious things like tires blowing out on the highway when you're driving 70 miles per hour. ice storms, heat strokes, and all I need to do is mention the name Terry Mitchell, and it will bring back a memory for you about how tragic that story could have ended. So the question today is, and it's a valid question, the question is, why in the world do we do things like this? Like, why do we do this? Why would we want to endure 105 degree of dry heat? Why would we want to endure the sun, exhaustion, frustration, stomach issues? And on top of that, it's not only that we endure this, but we pay for it. We pay to do this. Some of our guys are taking vacation this week. This is their vacation from their job. And they paid for it. And they're driving 15 hours to the heat to carry lumber, maybe have some stomach problems, probably get really, really hot, and labor for the sake of the gospel. Why would we do this? Well, I just told you, for the sake of the gospel. We do this because we are God's plan to spread the hope of Christ to the world. You are plan A. You are His plan for sharing the good news, the gospel, here, there, and everywhere. Jesus said this in Acts 1:8. He said, before He ascended, He gives some encouraging instructions. Listen to His words. And notice the words carefully. He says this, "You will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Here's what Jesus did not say. Are you ready? He did not say, "You will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, or Judea, or Samaria, or the ends of the earth." Nope. He said, "You will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That word "and" is important. Listen, we live on mission. No matter where we are, between the neighborhood, from the neighborhood to the nations, we live on mission. We are called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and calling people to behold the glory of our great God. God's will for our church is that we live on mission in our neighborhood, right where you live, right where you are, that you be a gospel light in your neighborhood. That's God's will for your life. We live on mission right here at home. And listen, God's will for our church is that we live on mission around the world, that we go on mission around the world. Also, the lost can be saved, the church can be edified, and God can be glorified. To Him alone we give glory. Amen? Today we're looking at Psalm 67, a song for missions. And I mentioned this to Trudy. I'm so grateful that our choir sang that choir special this morning for the cause. That is such a missionally focused psalm, song. Psalm 67 is also a missionally focused song. It begins in the neighborhood, and it ends in the nations, and it answers the question, why in the world do we go on mission? Better yet, why in the world do we live on mission? Psalm 67 answers that question for us. Today, you're going to see three reasons why we live on mission. If you have your Bibles, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. As we read together Psalm 67, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. God's Word this morning to us says this: "May God be gracious to us and bless us. May He make His face shine upon us, so that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy. For You judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him." Would you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You so much for the call that You've placed in the hearts of our church and those members of our church who are going, who are leaving today. Thank You so much for their obedience. Thank You so much for the call You've placed on our church to send them. Thank You for those who have obediently given and sacrificed and prayed so that the gospel can be shared in places like Acuna. Father, we pray that today, before we even load up vans, we pray You would move in a mighty way here this morning, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be evident here this morning, that You would change lives as a result of an encounter with your word from Psalm 67. And I pray, Father, as a result of this message, that you would help each and every one of us to live on mission from the neighborhood to the nations for your glory alone. And we pray all of this in the strong, saving name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three reasons why we live on mission. Reason number one, we live on mission so the nations will know Christ as Lord. Look in your Bibles, verse 1. Verse 1 initially appears to be a little selfish. It initially comes off a little selfish. Look at verse 1, just verse 1. May God be gracious to, what's your Bible say? Us. And bless who? Us. Make his face shine upon who? Us. That sounds a little selfish initially, doesn't it? Like it's all about us. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. But listen to me, all appearances of selfishness fade away when you put it in context with verse 2. Let's read verse 1 and 2 again together. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that, that word so that is important, because, this is the reason, so that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. The motive, listen, you ought to pray and ask the Lord to bless you. That's a biblical prayer. But the motive for that is not so that we can sit and soak in God's blessing. The reason that we ask God to bless us is not so that we can stay in our comfort zone and live comfortable lives. No, the reason we ask God to bless us is so that the lost can be saved to the glory of the Lord, so that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. That's the way that's the way the Lord works. That way the Lord will be known through all the nations through you. John Stott says it like this. This is a lengthy quote. Stick with me for a minute. He says this, they prayed, the Israelites prayed that God would bless them. Not in order for them to wallow comfortably in his blessings themselves, but in order that it might pass from them to others. We need to remember that Israel made the very audacious claims for herself and her God. Israel claimed to be the special people of God with whom he had entered into an everlasting covenant. She poked fun of the dead and dumb idols of the nations. She affirmed that her God was the only living, active, and true God. So of course, Stott writes, of course, her neighbors were watching her now quizzically, now incredulously. They wanted some evidence to support her claim. They wanted to know what God could do for his people, what difference it made to them, what difference he made to them, and whether the claims of Israel had any substance to them or not. Listen to me, church family. The lost world is watching you. So you steward that well. You steward your blessing from God well. We live on mission because we have this bold and audacious claim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will change your life for his glory, and he will take you home forever to be in heaven with him for all eternity. We live on mission because we know that. And we know there are people who don't know him. And we know that we're God's plan to tell them. And that he uses us so that the nations will know Christ as Lord. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless you. But listen, may we steward that blessing well to the glory of God for the sake of the lost. Let's not be selfish with it. Let's be free with it, serving the Lord, blessing those around us, living on mission. Steward your blessing well. We live on mission so the nations will know Christ as Lord. The second reason we live on mission is so that the nations will praise the Lord. Look between verses 3 and 5. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy. For you judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. John Piper once famously said, missions exist because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate. Worship is eternal. Missions are not. In heaven, there are zero mission trips. Missions will cease to exist for all eternity in heaven. There will be no need for missions in heaven because everyone there will know Christ. Missions are not eternal. And thus the end goal today is not that you go on a mission trip. The end goal is that worship happens in places where it doesn't already happen. That's why we live on missions. Worship is eternal. We'll worship forever and ever and ever. And listen, this isn't a sermon about heaven. So I don't want to get too far into this. But listen, we will worship in heaven forever, and the gospel will be preached in heaven. Not so that people can be saved, but so that we can worship the one who saved us. Because we'll be in heaven with him, and we'll know that we don't deserve it. We'll know that we don't deserve to be that, to be there. But we will hear the gospel proclaimed, and we'll worship God because of it. We'll hear the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know the verse that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? We will hear that in heaven, and we will praise God for it. To God be the glory for the gospel of Jesus, because it saves us. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. I can think of no better time than right now. No better day than this day. No better day for you to put your faith and hope and trust in Christ, repent of your sins, and be saved than the day that we send out 53 people to Mexico so they can share the gospel, so worship can occur in places where worship does not currently occur. If worship isn't occurring in your house, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, repent and believe, and you will be saved. And I promise you, you will lose nothing, and you will gain everything. Repent and believe in the gospel. We live on mission so worship can happen in places where it's currently not happening. We go to places like Acuna and Juarez. We endure the heat. We do that so that we can worship. And you've got to listen to me closely. Those 15 of you who are going, you listen closely. Every swing of the hammer this week will be an act of worship to our great God. Every drop of sweat that you drop will be an act of worship to our great God. When you get back to the place, where are you staying? At the church? Are you staying at a church or at a camp? Staying at a camp. When you get back to camp, it's going to be, I'm guessing you're going to take a siesta because it's going to be super hot. So it's going to be about 3 o'clock, and you're going to go to your camp place, and you're going to sit down, and your muscles are going to cry out to the point that maybe a literal tear will come down your eyes. And listen, when that happens, your muscles will cry out in worship to our great God. This will be a week of worship for you. And church family, for those of us who are left behind, for every family who stays back home, this will be a week of worship for you as you long to be reunited to your family member, as you pray for them. Church family, as we pray for those who are in Acuna, that's an act of worship. This will be a week of worship for FBC Moberly. And on Thursday, are you finishing the house Thursday? We hope. On Thursday, when the house is done, you better believe this. When the house is all finished, 3 houses, worship will take place at the dedication of that home. What will happen at the dedication, the church will gather, the neighborhood will gather, the family will gather, everybody will gather in their little neighborhood. Somebody will have a guitar, and worship's going to happen. Somebody will have a Bible. The gospel will be preached. Prayer over the house and the family will occur. It is a beautiful, beautiful scene. That's why we go, so that they can hear the gospel and be saved. And then they'll load up in vans and they'll drive 15 hours back, and they won't come back here patting themselves in the back. You know what they'll do? They'll come back here pointing a hand to heaven, to the glory of God, for the goodness of God, for using us. And our prayer, your prayer, my prayer, our hope, the whole purpose in you guys going on mission is that the lost will see Christ in you. That the lost will see men and women who gave up their time, who gave up their vacation, who gave up their money, who are maybe a little scared to go to Mexico. Men and women who gave up so much just so that others can be blessed and hear the good news. They will see the love of Christ in action as the house is being built, and then they will hear the gospel as the person who preaches proclaims the good news that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. To God be the glory. We live on mission so nations will know Christ. We live on mission so the nations will praise the Lord. Lastly, we live on mission so the nations will honor the Lord. Look at the end, verse 6 and 7. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. When the world looks at you, they should see Christ in you. Even when you suffer, even when you go through difficult days, even when it's 105 degrees and everything in you wants to quit, even when days get hard, you steward that suffering well. You steward that pain well. You steward that hurt well. You do so because you know that God has allowed you to endure that for a strategic purpose, for a strategic time, and you don't know that purpose, but you know that you've got to steward that suffering well. And listen, the inverse is also true. When God blesses you, when God produces the harvest, as verse 6 says, the earth has produced its harvest. God has blessed us. God will bless us, verse 7. And all the ends of the earth will fear him. When God blesses you, when God blesses us, when God produces the harvest, you steward that blessing well. Don't you dare waste that on you. Don't you dare waste the blessing of God on your comfort, on frivolity. You give to the glory of God. You go for the glory of God. You live your life with reckless abandon for the sake of the gospel. Psalm 67 tells us three reasons why we should live on mission. But I want to share with you one reason. Just one reason. This past Wednesday, I drove to Chillicothe. Ain't nothing in Chillicothe, but it's halfway point between me and my buddy, Matt. Matt has been here before. We've prayed for him often. Matt is an international missionary with the IMB. They have served in China and served in Myanmar. They're currently back stateside because of a medical emergency with their daughter. They thought she had a bone cancer. It turned out that was a malignant tumor. They can't identify the tumor. They just know it's malignant. And benign. Yeah, not cancerous. Not cancerous. So they hope to return back to Myanmar in the next couple of weeks. So we met in Chillicothe, and just a few things about them. Matt and Cian and their family, just a few things about the sacrifices that they've made. They have lived in Southeast Asia for nearly 20 years. They're raising their kids in places of relative poverty. They've been forced to leave one country from the threat of government persecution, like literally had to leave everything behind and get out as quickly as they could because missionary kids from other agencies were being arrested by the government and held hostage. And so they had to flee quickly. So they left everything behind, years of ministry in this little neighborhood, friendships that had been forged. They had to up and go in the middle of the night. They moved to a place called Myanmar, a little community called Lashio. And we were supposed to go there last year. We had to cancel that trip because the civil war has been raging in Myanmar now for 60 years. But Lashio was a relatively safe place, and so we felt comfortable about going there. It was safe until it wasn't. And bombs began to go off. The militia began to close in on Lashio. Matt had bombs going off at gas stations within a mile of his home. So he and his family had to, again, in the middle of the day, middle of the night, they had to load up vans and get out of Lashio as quickly as they possibly could. He has sacrificed holidays from his family. He can't see his mom and dad as often as he wish he could. Birthdays, the comfort of American living, air conditioning, being forced to live thousands of miles from his support structure. And so knowing I was going to preach a sermon on missions, I asked Matt, why in the world, why do you do this? Why do you sacrifice so much? And the first thing he said was, I don't think it's sacrifice. And then he said this, one reason. He said, I'll give you one reason. And it's a reason that will live with me forever, and I hope it lives with you forever. One reason why he does all that he does. He said, I can give you the Bible answer. I can give you the theology answer. I can make it sound really like a PhD dissertation. But really, the reason why I do, the reason why my family lives on mission is because we just love being saved. Isn't that awesome? Like, we just love being saved. And he looked over to the couple that was sitting across the restaurant. They couldn't hear us. He looked over and he just kind of said, you know, you can see the hardness on people's face. You know they're lost. You know that there are people who are broken, who need Jesus. And I just love being saved so much that I want to share with them what I have. Because I know that Jesus can change everything. I just love being saved. Listen, that's the reason we go on mission. That's the reason we go. That's the reason we live on mission in our neighborhood and to the nations. That's the reason we live with reckless abandonment for the gospel. Because we just love being saved. And because we are saved, listen to me, because we are saved, I pray that you join with me in saying, wherever he leads, be it Acuna, Juarez, Helena, Romania, Belarus, Myanmar, China, wherever he leads, even if it's in your neighborhood, wherever he leads, I will go. To the glory of God, I say. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. And Father, I pray that right now, if there is someone here who does not know you, that today would be their day. They repent and believe and turn to you and are saved. Be glorified, magnified, and made big in this moment. And Father, for those of us who do know you, who are saved, I pray you would give us the courage to sing out this hymn with all that we have, wherever he leads, wherever you lead, Lord, I will go. Even if I don't have all my questions answered, even if I go with fear and trepidation, wherever you lead, I will go. Help us to say that this morning, to sing that this morning, and to mean that this morning. And we pray this in the amazing name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.